You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hey, hello, hello. Lovely to have you. Welcome back once again. Welcome back. I am speaking with Lavelda Vincenzi today. Now, who's Lavelda? Well, Lavelda is a well-known speaker, coach, moderator, and an MC. She teaches female entrepreneurs how to secure paid, game-changing speaking opportunities that increase their impact, influence, and income. Lavelda is frequently found introducing and facilitating conversations with political figureheads, celebrities, business executives, and entrepreneurs. Tom Daley, Margaret Vestager, the European Commissioner for Competition, Monica Lewinsky, Kunal Nayar from Big Bang Theory, and Paul Polman, former Unilever CEO. These are just some of the well-known people that she has worked with. Now, having noticed the gender imbalance on prominent international stages, Lavelda's mission became to ensure that authentic, powerful female voices were much more widely heard in the world, and her venture, World-Class Female Speakers, was born. Lavelda teaches female business owners and experts how to increase their visibility and profile so that they can be found, booked, and paid to share their expertise. That's my guest today, Lavelda Vincenzi. Lavelda, hello!
Oh my gosh, Keith, you make me sound so good.
Lovely to have you here. Lovely to have you here, Lavelda. We've heard your bio, but I've got to ask, who is Lavelda? Who is the lady behind the bio?
Oh, you know what it is? I find that sometimes with bios, it's because it's so curated, it's really easy to like have this big whatever. I'm a chick who stumbled across hosting and emceeing because I used to do it for fun, really, and stumbled across it as something that you could get paid to do and thought, what the heck, let's have a go. And I didn't come from any major background with any crazy credentials, right? Like, I wish I could say I had that rags to riches story, you know, the one that everybody wants to flog. I don't really have that. Mine's kind of more like plodded along and went, oh crikey, I've stumbled into this, let's see where it's gonna go. And so in some ways I'm quite ordinary.
Yeah. Quite ordinary, and yet here you are, you hang out with people like Tom Daley and Monica Lewinsky. That's pretty good for someone who's quite ordinary. We're going to explore how you reached that point, because I know it's going to be an interesting journey as we discover how you did that. I mean, I'm assuming you weren't born going, I'm going to be an MC and I'm going to be presenting all of these people on stage. How did it come about? How did you kind of first get into this? Before we go further into exploring that, however, I just want to give a quick shout out to a sponsor of this episode. This episode is sponsored by Gary Jones from Grow Marketing and Media. Now, Gary set up Grow Marketing and Media to help business owners to engage with audiences online and to overcome any fears they have about podcasting. That's why Gary and I get on so well. What we do kind of dovetails neatly. Now, as well as helping you with editing and producing your podcasts, Gary will also take the time to talk with you about the ideas you have behind your podcast, about the process of your podcast, and about marketing your show to make it as easy as possible for you to manage your podcast. Not only that, but on the 14th of September 2022, Gary is launching Grow Radio, which is an online radio station bringing you a different podcast on the hour, every hour. So basically, if you want to find out how podcasting could work for your business, whether that's where to listen to them, how to get on them, or how to launch your own, get in touch with Gary and grab a free 20-minute chat with him. Just go to 121withgrow.as.me/free. 121withgrow.as.me/free. Have a 20-minute chat with Gary. What that man doesn't know about podcasting is not worth knowing. Big thank you to our sponsor. Now, where were we? Ah, yes.
Well, I didn't know emceeing and moderating was a thing. So they don't teach you that in school. There's teaching, lawyers, doctors, that kind of stuff. So it wasn't something I kind of grew up knowing I wanted to do. That being said, I was that kid who loved a stage. So I did drama, I did debate class, you know, I liked being on stage. I've always enjoyed that side of things. I've never had a problem with the stage. I've got evidence of doing assemblies of 300 people when I was 13 years old. So from that perspective, I've always had that part of it. I used to get my sister on board to create these shows for my parents, and we'd sell them tickets for it, you know? So for me, I was always that kid that didn't mind, not in like an attention grabbing way. I've always enjoyed arts and being in front of people. And so, you know, you think that that would lead to sort of acting or something along those lines. And I remember thinking I really wanted to do hospitality. And there was something about the logistics of it and the organizing and all of that that I've always really enjoyed. So at one point I thought I wanted to be a hotel manager. And then I did a degree in accounting and financial management, all of which are the furthest things really from what I do right now. I didn't know the industry as I'm in now existed, but they ended up being hobbies because I've always had a foot in some sort of speaking, right? You know, if there was a presentation to be had, I was probably leading it. I was always a person, group presentation at university, put Lavelda forward. I've never had a problem with that sort of stuff. So I kind of accidentally stumbled into it when I first got the entrepreneurial bug, and I thought I'll go out and I'll, you know, build a business, a coaching business of some description. Not that I knew what I was doing or what I wanted to build. I kind of cluelessly went, I want a business and I'll just keep following this thread. And one of the ways to get attention as a business owner was to get on stages and speak. And that felt quite natural to me. And then a friend of mine asked me to host some of her events that she was doing. She was building a speaking club for speakers, and would I be the main host? And every time I finished that, she's like, oh, Lavelda, you're so good. And I just thought, I'm just introducing people, like, it's not that fun, it's not that fancy. And she invited me to do this for a fashion show, and I remember coming off the stage of this fashion show when somebody approached me and said, how much do you charge? I was like, charge? So working in sales and not having an answer, I said, oh, I'm working right now, but if you give me your number, I'll come back to you with the price, which bought me enough time to make something up. And that happened a couple of times. And then in my excitement, when somebody would find me to do these things, I'd, you know, take photos or whatever and throw them on the internet, on social media. And then I remember a couple of times, rather randomly, people just finding me on LinkedIn. And the first time it was for, you know, quite a big marketing type event in London. And so I did that the first time for free. The second time they paid me for it, but I took lots of video footage. And they had some really cool names. They had like the CEO of Time Inc. and senior executives from like major companies. And so I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then about a year or so after that, somebody found me for an event in Paris for like 3,000 people. And I was like, wow, I'm not even telling people I do this, right? This is crazy. And it looked like a really big event, quite prestigious. It was a brand new event at the time. I'd never done it before. They'd never done the event before. But I thought, my goodness, how did they find me? I love Paris. So hold on a minute. I can get paid to go somewhere on holiday to meet cool people and introduce them. This is madness. Like, it's like all my favorite things that I could get paid to do this. So after that gig, I thought, right, what if I actually tell people this is what I do? Let's just play a game and see where this goes. If I just take it serious for 12 months, I'll give it a year of taking it seriously and telling people, I'm just going to declare I'm a host, I'm an MC, this is what I do. Not that I knew anybody in the space, not that I knew any fees, not that I knew, had a clue, but I just thought, if they're finding me anyway, and they seem better people, better events seem to be finding me, what would happen if I just told people this is what I did? And within 18 months of that declaration, I'd met Kunal Nair from The Big Bang Theory. I'd interviewed Monica Lewinsky. I'd done Paris. I'd done Lithuania. I did loads of events around the UK. My fees went from several hundred to several thousand. Like, it was just crazy. So yeah, it started from kind of ordinary, very humble beginnings and a let's just see what if. What if I just told people how far could this go? Apparently pretty far.
Love that. I love that. I'm sorry about this, Lavelda. Just one moment. My computer is really playing up. And for some reason, because I now can't hear you. And just one second. Just one moment. Oh, sorry about this. I'm really sorry about this. Hang on. I think I know what's going on. For some reason, it's decided to pick up my iPods, which aren't even my AirPods, which aren't even in the room. Oh, gosh. Just a moment. It's one of those days. It really is ridiculous. Yeah, they're not even switched on. And for some reason, it's decided it's using them instead. Can you hear me at the moment? Because I can't hear you at all. What if I do that? Do you want to say something there?
Yep. Is that working now?
I can hear you.
We're
again.
Back. It's running a right mock today, isn't it?
It is. It's because I said I don't edit these. Obviously, the computer's gone, right, we're going to give you the biggest editing job ever.
Can't blame it on me. It's not down to me. For whatever reason, tech... Yeah, people feel, oh, I interviewed that Lavelda and it was a ton of editing. It wasn't Lavelda's fault.
We'll blame it on Simone. Somehow.
The waiter's fault.
Right. So you'd, just to get back to where we were, so you decided basically, you know what, I'm going to tell people this is what I do because I'm starting to get people booking me for it anyway. What happens if I take that next step and tell people this is what I do? And then over the course of 18 months, things really took off for you and really skyrocketed.
Yeah, I call it kind of following the golden thread. I do it a lot with my clients. I think often we can overcomplicate things and make things really difficult for ourselves. And there's normally something within our grasp that just works and we ignore it because it works so easily. So for me, it was a little bit baffling that people would find hosting difficult because it's just a natural skill I have. And it's taken me a few years looking at other people do it and kind of going, why would you do that? Like, to me, it just seems like why? And it's because when something is so easy to us and so natural, it's often the thing we most discount. And so for me, if somebody's recognizing it and they're willing to pay for it and they're hunting me out even when I'm not even doing any work, like I did not have moderator or host. Maybe I had speaker on my profile. I genuinely didn't know where these people were coming from or how the heck they were finding me. And so I thought if amongst all of this where I've done nothing, if anything, I've made it difficult to be found. I think it was Copenhagen that year as well. Like I literally had about 3 or 4 people internationally drop in my inbox and ask me to do this. And after every event, I would get inquiries for new clients. Mm. And I think sometimes when things are that easy, we can go off on a tangent and look for something more difficult that feels harder. And often the most difficult thing to do is do the easy thing. Which sounds counterintuitive, yeah. Right?
Yeah, that does sound paradoxical, but I can see where you're coming from. Yeah, if we find something so easy that it's just easy for us, we kind of assume, well, I can't do that because that's dead easy. I need to find something harder. That's what people will pay for. Whereas in fact, because we find it so easy, we do such a good job. That's what they want to pay for. They want someone who finds it easy. Yeah.
It was a lot of mindset. Ironically, it was a lot of mindset work for me in the beginning to get okay with charging for something that to me is so basic. Yeah. It's not basic to everybody. It's the same way that somebody would say growing a social media following is really basic for somebody. And others of us are sitting here like, how? Somebody, hello, I'm over here.
Yeah.
I'm over here. You know, doing the most, dancing and TikToks and whatever else, and still you've got like 3 followers, right? Because it's just so easy. And I think some of it comes from a culture of working hard. Mm-hmm. And we can appreciate and value it when there's hard work, that feeling of force with stuff. And it was really difficult for me to appreciate and value what came super easy. I think when I first noticed it, way back, just as I was getting into hosting, I got invited. I ended up doing, I was a guest on an international news channel for about 6 months. They just brought me back almost every week for about 6 months.
Yeah.
And bearing in mind, I'm not really an avid watcher of the news and I have no basis for any of this stuff. I could just form a very quick opinion, intelligent opinion on something very quickly. And I've always been quite quick-witted on my feet. So it serves to have somebody who you can ask them a question and they'll just have a response to it. I did some research and whatever, but I remember people saying to me, oh gosh, Shabalda, you're doing so well. And I was like, what? And the reason I couldn't take it on board is because I didn't look for it. Yeah. Right. There was no hard work. I've never worked really hard for these things. I didn't look for it. A friend of mine, not even a friend, an acquaintance of mine, because we're not that close, called me out of the blue. I hadn't heard from her in like years and said, I've got to replace myself as a guest on this show. Do you want to do it? And that's how I ended up with it. Literally, that was it. And I did the first one. They seemed to like me and they just kept inviting me back. So for 6 months, I had this ongoing TV appearance that just fell in my lap. Yeah. And so it took me a while to get okay with the stuff that falls in my lap is actually the most fun. And I can charge for that because if it's that easy for me to do, when I put a little bit of effort behind it, I'm in excellence already. Whereas if it's really hard to do, I kind of go, I've given up trying to put a lot of effort behind things that at best I'm going to be mediocre at. It makes no sense to me anymore.
Yeah, I totally get that. I mean, yeah, why would you settle for mediocre when do the things that you are naturally good at and you can excel at them? And as we said before, that's what people want when they're looking for hosts, when they're looking for MCs. They don't want someone who's, I guess, really struggling and finding it hard. They want someone for whom it's easy. It's water off a duck's back. I can do this all day, and that's where you create something magical, I guess.
Yeah, it's when you create a business and a lifestyle that's fun. And I watch a lot of people stepping into the speaking space, like super overcomplicate it. It makes me giggle. I actually have a client right now, and the first task I gave her was like the simplest way I have for finding gigs.
Yeah.
And then the next week she comes back to me. She's like, so do I need a, bearing in mind, she'd gone for a week and she came back with 5 bookings. Okay. One task, 5 bookings.
Whoa.
Okay. Really simple. And she had resistance to it. She was like, she kept trying to make it, wanting to make it harder. So do I need to go to people I don't know? And how do I said, no, babe, like just do what I'm asking you to do. It's super simple. So she eventually went off and she threw herself into it. And she came back. She's got 5 bookings. The next week she's got another. I've lost track. She's booked until October now. They just keep coming. Right.
Nice.
But the second week she came to me, she said, so about YouTube, right? I really feel like I need this YouTube channel. And I said, how many people from the 5 people that have already booked you have asked you anything about your YouTube? And she said, none. I said, so why? We'll come to that when we're ready, right? Why do you want to make this more difficult for yourself? You're getting bookings now without any of that stuff, right? We'll get it. Don't worry. We're coming to it, right? We will have your YouTube. We will have your showreel. We'll have all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But you having that stuff isn't going to determine your bookings. You're getting the bookings now. They will just get easier once we get these things, but only once we've got the great quality stuff. But it's really funny because I watch people. It's almost like this hang up to make things more complicated for ourselves. And I think it's what gets in the way of some of our biggest dreams. We look at where we are now and where we want to be. And that gap is huge. And because the gap is huge, rather than looking at what is the simplest step I can take right now that's going to feel easy and fun and joyous, we look at the most complicated things we could come up with. It's like, I need clients. Right. So I'm going to build a website. You know how it goes, Keith. I'm starting a business. So I'm going to build a website. I'm going to come up with a YouTube channel. I'm going to do videos. I'm going to build social media. No, just ask some people for business. Like, it's really that simple. Come up with a list and ask them for business. You don't need a website. My best products have sold minus a website, working with me one-to-one right now, there's nothing on the internet. People are like, can you send me something? I'm like, it's not complicated. And frankly, coming up with that stops me from telling people about it. So I'd rather just tell people about it than build, you know, that stuff is awesome when you're scaling.
Yes.
But in the beginning, I think we see people at step 500 in their journey, and we start trying to follow the blueprint for somebody at step 500 when we should just be following the blueprint for somebody at step zero. And their blueprint is entirely different and a lot more scaled back.
Yeah, you make a really, really good point there. So often we see people looking at like the leaders in their industry and go, oh, they're doing this, this, and this. I must do this, 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 and this. And you're right. They're doing that because that works for where they are. But when they were where we are, they weren't doing all that stuff. I remember one person who was really trying to make it big in business, and they were going, oh, I'm going to see what all the leaders do, and I'm going to follow them. So they analyzed what all the leaders doing, and they were doing similar things. So it's like one of their idols used to wear a 5,000 pound suit, as in 5,000 pounds sterling, not 5,000 pounds weight.
Yeah.
That would be ridiculous. But they used to spend like 5,000 pounds on their suit. So this person did the same. So, oh, I've got to get that same type of suit. Like, what? That's not why people are hiring this person. This person's wearing the suit because they can afford it because of the people that are hiring them. People aren't hiring them because they're wearing the
because
suit.
Because of the suit.
Yeah, it's like crazy. I think we all get why being a speaker can be so powerful and influential for our business. It's been said that when you're in the room, who is the person who's perceived as the expert? It's the person on stage. When you're on the stage, you're elevated, it gets your message across and all these things. A lot of people, though, will be thinking, yeah, it's all right for you, Lavelda. I mean, you led assemblies. You used to love doing all of this stuff. I've never done that kind of stuff. It sounds scary. How can we start breaking into that world of speaking? If we are coming from, you know, sort of a lot of people that kind of told, no, we shouldn't speak up. We shouldn't talk, speak out of turn, shut up and listen. How do we go from that to being, you know what? Listen to me. What are some things we can do to just kind of get us into that world?
Get started. I think it's firstly, we're always if I'm not going to do it, who's going to speak for me, right? Nobody's going to be able to sell my services better than I am. And for me, I'm always looking at what works best. So for some people, they're really great at writing. And for them, I say your best route to success is anything written. Do blog posts, do magazine articles, like write until you blue in the face.
Yeah.
And for others, their best form of communication has always been is speaking. Anytime they're in a room, whether it's, if you know when you speak to somebody, it works a lot better. Like I know I can bust my gut working on writing article. Firstly, it doesn't fill me with joy. Secondly, it feels a lot like hard work. I used to love English literature only because I liked evaluating the literature, right? So my teacher, because my essays were rubbish, right? Yeah. I was not great at writing stuff down. And I think I was the biggest disappointment because in the discussions in the class, I was right in there. I had a point. It was all great. And then my essay would come in and somebody who was quieter in the class would ace that essay. Why? Because I'm great at talking.
Yeah.
this is my forte. When you tell me to take this and write it down, it all just dissipates. Like I just don't think as well. And for some of those people who were quieter in the class, they could listen to that discussion and translate it beautifully into written language. Whereas I would be making up words because the words just wouldn't come in the way I needed them to. My sister's reading, she's like, Lavelda, that's not a word. What do you mean? It should be a word. Why is it not in the dictionary? So for people who've always been great at communicating verbally, you know, when you get in front of a group of people or you speak to somebody one-to-one, that's when you're most impactful. It's not what you write, it's what you say that seems to land. Then I think, why would you not take that inherent communication mechanism and elevate it? because anytime you speak, it seems to create ripples. That's when people hear you. And what I love about the art form of speaking is you can turn it into a product, and that's when you're getting paid to speak. It's keynotes, it's emceeing, it's moderating, it's you want me to make an appearance, you're going to have to pay me to show up. You can use it as a marketing tool. So the same way you could write blog posts or do social, you know, do ads and that sort of stuff, get in PR through magazines. You could also do Facebook lives, Instagram lives, podcasts, be interviewed in other people's communities. And that's you in this format, verbally sort of speaking it through. Mm-hmm. And you can use it for PR. And so to me, I think, what other form? Like, it's just that, why am I going to go and learn how to write stuff when I can just apply this skill that works better for me in multiple different avenues? And it does take training. But here's the thing. The first time you do anything, it's a little bit terrifying. So it's not the speaking. It's the newness that's scary. It's uncharted. It's and thinking it's the speaking that's scary. For some, that may resonate true. But often for many, it's the newness of it. I remember my first Facebook Live. I was terrified. Like, I'm sweating. Like, you know, and it's not because I'm scared of talking. It's because I haven't done it in this mechanism before. And what if nobody shows up? And, you know, my husband and I experienced it as well when we first went on Clubhouse, the first Clubhouse room you host by yourself. You're like, frick, what if I'm by myself and nobody shows up? And, you know, and I moderate for a living. I was not okay with that first Clubhouse. Like, we walk out of the room, I'm like dripping, like freaking sweating like a beast here. You know? I need a shower after I'm done. Yeah. My first webinar was the same. And I've never had a problem speaking. But even today, like when I think of moderating, anytime my stages have increased in size or scale or something, it's always terrifying. So the first time moderating was just scary because it was the first time moderating. And then I was like, that wasn't so bad. And then I was fine with stages of 50 to 100. And then it was like 500. And I'm like, whoa, this is scary. But it's just because it's new. Then you do 500 a few times and you get to like 2000. Trust me, it's a big difference. It's like, imagine, the stage is higher. And, you know, what if I can't hold this audience? I know I can entertain a smaller one, but now this is a bigger one. So I think when you just get, any time you do something new, it's going to feel scary. It's just the newness of it is going to make it scary.
Yeah, absolutely right. You're absolutely right there. I think there's a few key bits, a few key points that I took from that. One is, if we go right back to the start of it, it's interesting that you mentioned that some people are really good at articulating through speech. Some people are really good at doing it through the written word. Whichever one you're best at, that's the one to focus on. So if you're really, 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 really good at writing, you don't have to become a speaker. You can become an author, blogs, books, articles, all that sort of thing. On the other hand, if you find it easier to explain something to somebody by talking them through it rather than writing it down, you're already predisposed to speaking, so it makes sense to build upon that and use that as your way forward. And you don't have to have been leading assemblies when you're at school, but if you're able to just explain something, if somebody asks you how something works and you can tell them verbally rather than have to write it all down, then you are already naturally a speaker. And yes, it does get scary, but anything you do for the first time is, as you say, it's scary. It's not the thing. It's the newness, because we don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I think what really came to me as you were speaking, it's if you're the sort of person that would rather send a voice note, that would rather send a voice note than write everything out. Like those text conversations, after a while, you're like, let's just talk. Or, you know, for me, when I went to hire my assistant, I'm like, if you can't handle voice notes, we're going to have a problem, because I can't do everything over email. It's exhausting to me. But I've just hired somebody to do a whole bunch of copywriting for me. And she is the total opposite. So for her, she's like, I don't understand how people wouldn't love writing. I'm like, I hate it.
Yeah,
I hate it. I really do. I love the idea of being featured in a magazine article if you're going to interview me and write it.
Donkey, yes, but, yes.
But if you need me to write the article, I'm like, oh, this feels like, it's like a, this is not fun anymore. Like, it feels like you've given me a present, but it's not a nice present. Like, the present comes with too many attachments I don't want to deal with. So I, and it took me a while. I remember doing like a 30-day blogging challenge. I used to, and I hated it. Like, it was so much work. Yeah. And towards, probably in the last kind of year or so, I just thought, Lavalda, you're a speaker, so speak. Just speak. You don't need to write anything down. I create content anytime I'm doing this stuff anyway. If I need content, this is how I create it. I'm a speaker, so let me speak. I'm not a writer. I think if I had to write a book, I would have to talk to somebody and they would write my book. I don't, the idea of sitting down writing, interview me, just interview me. You would get all of this stuff out of my head, but I'm not the structuring, no.
Yeah. That makes
even
sense.
Thinking about it, Keith, it just feels heavy. I'm like, no.
Breathe, Lavalda, breathe. Calm down.
Okay, I'm back. I'm back in the room.
And yeah, that goes right back to what you were saying all throughout our chat, that do the things that you find easy. So just like you hired your assistant who finds it easy to write stuff. You didn't hire somebody who's really good at speaking and get them to write the stuff. You hire someone who's really good at writing, while you, who are really good at speaking, does the speaking stuff.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I do with her. Here's like a top secret for you. I will take... You were waiting for it, lean in. I will take... Because I do a lot of... I speak, so I'm doing podcasts or lives, clubhouse rooms, masterclasses. Literally, I take my recordings and I send them to her and we transcribe it and then she writes based on what I say. So it's everything I've said before.
Yeah.
But I don't have to remember it and write it out again. And because she can hear how I said it, it comes out pretty much exactly the same. So for me, it just feels a lot easier. I'm creating the content. I have a machine, a person that translates it all into written word. And so anytime, I just said to her, anytime anybody needs something written, just understand, I will send you the brief, you will interview me and you will write it. Because I can't, Keith. I don't like it. I don't like it and I don't want to.
Yeah. And it makes absolute sense doing it that way, because the end result is going to be much more informative for the person who's reading it anyway. So it's all about, from what I'm picking up, is it's all about play to your strengths and build upon it rather than force yourself to do things that you find hard to do.
Absolutely. It's so much more. Like, if every day you're getting up and you're just doing the stuff that's really easy for you to do, business feels so much easier and it feels so much fun. So I think, like, going back to the sort of premise of the show and really thinking about, well, what allows somebody to really build the thing that they want to build, it's having the courage to really do just the thing you really love to do. And I think my biggest journey entrepreneurially has been being okay with saying, this is my lane. What I do really well is I do speaking strategy. I'm a darn good host. I'm really excellent at interviewing. And I know how to get people on the stage. That's my zone of genius. What I don't do so well, like being okay with going, I don't blog. You won't catch me blogging. You won't catch me doing a bunch of fancy videos because I don't like editing. Like, you know, even though these strategies can work, doesn't mean they should be working for me. And so, especially in the last year or so, I'm literally building my business around speaking because my zone of genius is speaking. And if I can focus on the speaking side of things, what that means is my business becomes a lot more fun because I've got rid of the need to manage communities because I'm not a community manager. I'm just not really, I tried it. Yeah, I could have them, but I don't manage them. Like the bottom line is even when I had them, I never really managed them. After a while, it just felt exhausting.
Yeah.
So when I'm able to let go of, I don't love managing communities. So you know what? I just won't. I just won't do it. Enough. And I don't like editing videos, so I won't. Doesn't mean I won't do YouTube. It means my YouTube strategy needs a team, because the only part of doing that stuff that I love is the video. And outside of that, I'm not interested. I don't want to edit it. I don't want to SEO it. I don't want to write the, I don't want to publish it. I don't want to do the, I don't want to publish it. I just don't enjoy any of the rest of it. Yeah. And I think some of the things that gets people in a lot of trouble when it comes to going after their goal is we get so sucked up in processes, often that don't align to our own zone of genius. And I've fallen foul to it a number of times, creating strategies that, it's not that they don't work, they do. But for me, I found myself, it's really recent actually, it's the beginning of this year when I really looked at, let me think about the strategies I'm going to use to grow my business. And if inherent in it, more than 50% of the activities are things I don't like doing, then I probably shouldn't use that strategy. I probably shouldn't use it, because it means that inherent in it, I'm going to spend a significant amount of my time doing stuff that fills me with dread. So yeah. What if I pick strategies where most of the stuff is super easy and fun for me to do? So now, and it sounds really simple, but it's taken me years to work out. That's why for a long time, I didn't like my business, because I would do things like, oh, you need to do like these like challenges. You need to do a challenge in order to sell your whatever. And that meant that I needed some sort of registration page. I needed a series of emails. I needed onboarding. I needed to keep people entertained and, you know, with tasks and stuff throughout. And then by the time I got to the end of the challenge, then I needed to sell. The only bit of that challenge process I liked was delivering the challenge itself and doing the sales calls. Everything else in the middle was a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't like writing the emails. I didn't like doing the promotion. I just didn't like any of it. And so imagine how heavy my business felt when most of my business was built on doing these things that inherent is a bunch of stuff I don't like doing.
Of course you're not going to enjoy it. Of course it's going to, yeah. No, that is quite a, that makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense. You know what that's put me in mind of now is when you're back at school and you have your careers advisor and so on. They don't say, what do you really enjoy doing? Oh, I really enjoy speaking. Brilliant. You're going to become an author. What? And yet so often we do that with our business, don't we? Oh, I've got to do all these things I hate, so I can do that 5 minutes of the thing I love.
It's just a structural, and we can say it now and it sounds really obvious, but honestly, it struck me this year, my goodness, I've just built my business structurally to have inherent in it a bunch of stuff I don't like doing. Why? Nobody made me do this. Just because somebody else can blog and make a lot of money, that is painful to me. If I do a lot of blogging, it doesn't make a lot of money. If I put out more social media posts, it doesn't make me more money. When I speak, it makes me more money.
Makes a lot of sense. Lavelda, I mean, we could talk about this for hours. There's so much stuff we could cover here. I'm absolutely loving our chat. Unfortunately, time, as is always the way, is against us. I know that you particularly focus on helping female business owners to increase their visibility by helping them build their speaking side of their businesses. For those who may be listening and thinking, I like the sound of Lavelda, and let's face it, everyone who's listening will be thinking that. But those who are thinking, I like the sound of what she does, I want to check her out and find out a bit more. What's the best way for them to get in contact with you or to check you out?
The best way is through Instagram. So you'll on there, you'll be able to, if you click in the link in bio, you'll be able to see links to various different resources that I've got. You'll also be able to see when I'm on Clubhouse, I do weekly kind of coaching sessions with a bunch of incredible co-hosts on there every Saturday. And also then if you like my style and you want to think, you're thinking, hold on a minute, what the heck did she say to that chick that got her 5 bookings?
Well, I was wondering that.
Let's talk.
Well. Beautiful, beautiful. So, Lavelda Vincenzi on Instagram. Check Lavelda out. You'll find her there. She's Obviously, she's on many of the other socials. She has her own site. We've got all the links to all of those in the show notes for this episode. As usual, go to keithblakemanoble.com/show. Look for the one with Lavelle DaVincenzi. Check out all the links there. Or, as Lavelle says, just go directly onto Instagram, check her out, connect there, and you'll find everything you could possibly want. And do have a chat with Lavelle. I mean, the ways in which she helps ladies to really use speaking to grow their business is phenomenal. Particularly that task that you gave your client, got them 5 bookings in a week. I mean, that is, yeah, well, we need to have a chat.
It works
after this,
consistently. Like there's she's not the only one. Yeah. It's either that or they're like, I finally got paid. And I'm like, of course you did. Now people are like, what is the task? You're going to have to get in touch to find out.
Yeah, exactly. And it will be worth finding out for sure. Lavelle, thank you so much. I know you're a really busy woman. You have a lot going on. I really appreciate you taking the time out to join us on this episode. Thank you so much.
It has been a blast.
It certainly has. And thank you, dear viewer, dear listener, however you're catching this. Thank you so much. Hope you've enjoyed it. Do check out Lavelle on Instagram. Remember to give us a like, comment, a share. Perhaps share the episode with your friends. Subscribe to it. And we'll catch you in the next episode. Until then, I'm going to leave you with a beautiful quote that Lavelle shared with me. You can't leave footprints if you are tiptoeing through life.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. To find out more, please visit keithblakemorenoble.com.